Welcome to the Raging Rhino Podcast. This is podcast number 38. My name is John. When are you going to blow the game? When are you going to blow the scream? When will you tell them that the crap doesn't last and you found a way to make your own dreams? When I was a conservative, I thought Ann Coulter was funny. I heard a seemingly endless stream of examples of liberals saying hateful things against conservatives. It seemed they had an open and accepting forum to trash conservative ideals, and that was frustrating. Suddenly, this woman starts throwing it back at them. She was willing to fight fire with fire. She had no problem fighting dirty with people who were fighting dirty. A couple of years ago, though, I woke up from the conservative coma. Since then, I've become less interested in her shtick. During last year's presidential campaign, it was common for me to listen to a show with her as a guest and for me to roll my eyes at the tired talking points. I saw her as less of a rogue with a chip on her shoulder and more of a typical party hack with a little extra vitriol. It's no secret conservative Republicans have differences with libertarians. Having now been on both sides, I understand the confusion they feel from us libertarians.
Well, I mean, they kind of sound like us, but they keep talking about freedom for things I don't like. I just don't know what to do.
I know there are some who think libertarians need to be embraced and accepted into the Republican Party. Unfortunately, I get the impression there are far more who disdain libertarians. Ann Coulter is one of those people. Not the least surprising. It stands to reason someone who is so adamant about her ideology that there is no room for any other point of view. In a recent interview during the International Students for Liberty conference, John Stossel asked Ann Coulter about the legalization of drugs. She responded, "This is why people think libertarians are pussies. We're living in a country that is 70% socialist. The government takes 60% of your money. They're taking care of your health care, of your pensions. They're telling you who you can hire and what regulations will be. And you want to suck up to your little liberal friends and say, 'Oh, but we want to legalize pot.'" Okay. First things first. Get it right. What you really mean is, this is why you and your little bubble of neocons think libertarians are pussies. You apply the same with-me-or-against-me aggression towards libertarians as you do towards progressive liberals. So rather than listening to the whole message, you automatically tune out at the first buzzword that goes against your delicate sensibilities. Second, if you think the country is only 70% socialist, you really haven't been paying attention. Or maybe it's because you ignore the parts that you can't at least partially blame on the Democrats. This is the myopia of a conservative zombie. It did not surprise me when I found out right-wing commentators, even those who claim to lean libertarian and espouse individual freedom, side with her point of view. They're Republicans first. Conservatives, second. Individual freedom, distant third, at best. Her argument is this. We should continue to criminalize pot specifically, and drugs in general, because we have to pay for the hospitalization of those who abuse it. Do you really think that is where the libertarian ideology ends? Are you that ignorant on the subject? Libertarians believe in more than just individual freedom. libertarians also believe in personal responsibility. These two things have to go together, or it will never work. No one should have to pay for the hospitalization of drug abusers other than the drug abusers. Now, if someone wants to help people like that with their hospital bills, that's their prerogative. But no one should have their wealth forced from them to pay for the hospitalization of anyone. I've mentioned in a previous podcast about sitting with a friend over lunch at an Indian buffet, talking about health care. I pointed to a woman smoking outside our window, and I asked if we should bear the burden of her choices. Obviously not. Then I pointed out that I'm a fat guy whose family history includes diabetes and heart problems, scarfing down sog paneer and naan like there's no tomorrow. I don't want anybody to have to pay for my choice either. I don't do drugs. I prefer to stick to alcohol as my primary vice, but I will not stand in the way of someone who wants to take drugs. I will fight for their right to make what I consider to be a bad choice. But I also refuse to accept that people should have their earnings forced from them and given to the treatment of drug users. Again, if someone wants to do it voluntarily, they should, but taxes are not voluntary. But if you roll your eyes and go into your little snit about drug legalization, you miss the message of personal responsibility. Now, granted, this is the response to Ann Coulter's appearance on Stossel, but it applies to a lot of conservatives out there. You only hear what you want to hear. Or maybe it's more to it than that. There are plenty of conservatives out there who have their view of a perfect moral America. And if they have to force laws down our throats to make us behave the way they want, then that's what they'll do. Let me offer you a couple of examples. You'll see why shortly. Last year, when North Carolina voters banned gay marriage in their states, conservatives cheered. I went off on a Facebook rant on my personal page. But even the right-wingers, who are at least sympathetic to gay couples, gave in to the argument of, well, the voters had their voices heard, so we have to respect that. That debate has reopened with the recent Supreme Court hearings on the Defense of Marriage Act and California's Proposition 8. Whether you support North Carolina's ban, the Defense of Marriage Act, and California's Prop 8, or you support gay marriage, your first and fatal mistake is allowing the government or the majority to decide on the definition of marriage. Natural rights supersede the government. North Carolina's law should be overturned, not because the voters were biased or ignorant, but because it is bad law. The only limit to any right is when it infringes on the rights of others. Your natural rights of private social contract and of association, by definition, involve only those who are party to the contract or association, no one else. Therefore, the government has no say on your decision to cohabitate, associate, with any persons, or how you choose to combine your lives, private social contract. If your association is homosexual and your contract is marriage, that is your business, and nobody else's. The irony is, the other side of the aisle wants to force people to accept gay marriage, but libertarians say no. The government should have no laws about marriage because it is none of the government's business. When you ask the government or a majority of voters to rule in favor of your moral beliefs, then you give them the excuse to one day revisit that decision. What you wish today may be undone in the future. What you believe today may become criminal tomorrow. Allow the government or the majority of voters to determine this, and they will gleefully look to dictate other aspects of your life. Look around. They already have. The question is not how the Supreme Court of the United States should rule on gay marriage. The question is, why would you cede the definition to any level of government or the fickle will of the collective? You help secure your personal beliefs by not allowing an agent of force, government, to interfere in someone else's personal beliefs. You strengthen your freedom when you support the natural rights of those with whom you disagree. Stated differently, if you want the government to stop interfering in your life, quit asking it to interfere in others. By the way, there are an estimated 41,000 denominations within the Christian religion. In other words, there are 41,000 different definitions on what it means to be a Christian. Even if you take just the major branches before you get into the subsects, you still have a few dozen that have teachings that contradict each other. Once again, I've gone off about this subject. Check out podcast number 10. It's the first of a trilogy on religion. Christianity is teeming with hypocrisy. So, how about before you get ginned up about defining marriage, you give me one definition of your religion first? Or, how's this for an idea? Christians get to define marriage if gays get to define Christianity. It's only fair. Next example. I've been meaning to reopen podcast number 4 on immigration because I've been listening to all sides of the debate and hearing some points that I hadn't considered. Maybe I'll go into greater detail later, but for now, I'll give you a summation. I am now in favor of what some would call amnesty for illegal immigrants. I came to this conclusion one night as I was struggling with the whole "they broke the law when they came into this country" argument. And no, I don't want to reward people who break the law. But at the same time, I don't want to punish people for breaking a bad law. See, the drug legalization argument and the gay marriage argument led me to my new stance on illegal immigration. Anti-drug laws are bad. So anyone who is in jail for a victimless crime should be set free. Gay marriage bans are bad laws. So, anyone who wants to be recognized in a marriage should be, regardless of their gender pairings. And if you've taken a look at the laws that are required for somebody to become a United States citizen, you know it is a muddled mess of red tape. It is good to break bad laws. Let's say something drastic happens in America, and and Sharia law becomes a dominant force. Let's also say that the lawmakers then decide that all other religious meetings are outlawed. It becomes illegal for Christians to gather together to practice their faith. Do you think Christians would comply? I would like to think they wouldn't. Nor should they in this theoretical scenario. They should stand up for their right to peaceably assemble. That would be another example of a bad law that would need to be fought. But then again, if Christians today refuse to respect other people's right to choose a different path, then what recourse would they have in that nightmare narrative? It is a dangerous game to allow a little evil when it can be used to support your prejudice. When someone else comes into power and now your lifestyle is forbidden, you suddenly have no ground to stand on. Ironically, it is a biblical teaching to treat others the way you wish to be treated. If you don't want to be told how to live your life, then don't try to tell others how to live theirs. So why go off on a tangent on gay marriage and immigration? Because it's all about consistency. Why is the Ninth Amendment so important? Listen to what it says. The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. Ponder that for a moment. I mention it because so many people focus on the Tenth Amendment these days, the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. Some will interpret that as anything not in the federal government jurisdiction goes to the states. I hear a lot of that sentiment in the reports out of the Supreme Court from the DOMA and Prop 8 hearings. Again, this is a fatal mistake. The Constitution does not grant us freedom. We already have freedom just by the very fact that we exist. The Constitution prohibits the government from limiting that freedom. But there's more. Just because freedom of speech is in the First Amendment and freedom to bear arms is in the Second Amendment, it does not mean freedom of speech is more important. Nor does it make any other natural right less important because it is not specifically stated in the Constitution. Furthermore, the natural rights retained by the people always trump any restrictive law that the government, federal, state, or local, wrongfully imposes. Just because the Founding Fathers couldn't think of every natural right to list in the Constitution doesn't mean those natural rights are non-existent. You have the natural right to associate and enter into private social contracts with whomever you choose, to travel to places you choose, especially in an attempt to pursue happiness, to put into your body what you choose. An oppressive government interferes with these rights. A constitutional government does not. Even if the Supreme Court finds itself in a gray area on these subjects, or anything similar, if it wants to stay within the spirit of the Constitution, it ought to always side on an individual's natural right. Call it erring on the side of caution if you must, but natural rights must always win if we are to be free. If your argument in favor of suppressing these rights is because of the societal burden they may impose, then get the government to stop forcing the burden on society. If you still want to deny these rights after the societal burden has been removed, then you were never freedom-loving to begin with. Maybe you are such a huge supporter of government control, so you can use it for your anti-drug legalization argument. Maybe you're okay with government telling you what you can or cannot do with your body. Maybe you secretly want government control. Or maybe you're just waiting for your party to get back into the driver's seat so you can press for more of the controls you favor. May as well keep those things you find distasteful so you have an excuse for drug criminalization. Keep the apparatus in place that suits your desire for control. Feign a little resistance to healthcare programs so you can push your anti-drug message. While it's understandable, it is wrong to think of modern conservatism as the political opposite of modern liberalism. But on the facade, it's easy to come to that conclusion. Maybe it's appropriate that conservatism starts with the letters C-O-N, because when you listen to the details, it's a con. This is why conservatism will fail. This is why I left the movement that I had supported for nearly two decades. Conservatives and liberals are two sides of the same coin. So just flip it in the air, and when it lands, you'll find out where you get kicked next. Heads or tails, you'll either get a kick in the head or a kick in the ass. You have a 50-50 chance of one side or the other, but a 100% chance of getting screwed. It stands to reason that a person who does not want freedom, especially individual freedom, would stand against libertarians. Someone who is comfortable with government control looks for ways to seize that control so they can then dictate their vision of morality to the masses. Then they will openly mock those who want to open the doors of freedom for everyone in every aspect of their lives. So no, it doesn't surprise me that someone would use the excuse of government-run healthcare to push her anti-drug agenda. But it is telling how both sides of the big government party prefer to build their anti-freedom policies on top of each other. Libertarians want freedom. But individual freedom cannot be achieved without also accepting personal responsibility. We don't want government health care, especially federally run government health care. If people were responsible for their own lives, they would be forced to think about the consequences of their actions instead of having a convenient scapegoat to excuse their recklessness. If we dismantle the unconstitutional power grab the government has on health care, there would be no more argument to keep anti-drug laws in place. Except in the little world of Ann Coulter. Because when a student posed that very scenario to her during the Stossel program, Coulter refused to go along. See, it really is all about keeping anti-drug legislation in place. The health care is just an excuse. So, when it comes to drug legalization, you can put Ann Coulter firmly in league with the likes of Debbie Wasserman Schultz and Barack Obama. I said at the beginning, I used to like Coulter. That was when I was living in the myopia of conservatism. when I believed the loss of freedom was justified by the appearance of security. When I believed an aggressive and antagonistic America overseas was necessary to safety at home. When I ignored the errors of the Republican Party because it suited my moral outlook. I was content to side with conservatives because I believed they were the opposite of the Democrats. I thought it was okay to fight hateful hyperbole with hateful hyperbole. That is, until the very same people who support Ann Coulter's astoundingly misinformed opinion try to claim they're also part of the freedom movement. If I want half-assed freedom, I can always go to the Democrats. Half-assed freedom from the Republicans is not an alternative. When I was in a conservative coma, I happily voted for their presidential candidate. But as I began to awaken during W's administration, I couldn't understand why so many conservatives were just going along with things that they would have decried under a Democrat president. I held my nose and voted for McCain because I was still coming out of the deep sleep. You can see that in some of my early podcasts where I still have a conservative lean on many topics, like immigration. But Bush's economic policies angered me. And then conservatives were treating Obama like crap for doing the same things Bush was doing. And I realized I just needed to stop. Let's take a step back and seriously look at what these fools were really doing to this country. It doesn't do a damn bit of good. If you rant and rave about how you need to get government out of your pocketbook, if you turn around and demand that government get into other people's bedrooms, and it sure as hell doesn't help if you rant and rave about how you need to get government out of your paycheck if you turn around and stick your hand into other people's paychecks. And conservatism is just that. It tells us we didn't do anything to piss off the Muslim extremists and then cheers when we bomb Muslim countries. It tells us that all American citizens have constitutional rights, and then ignores the constitutional right to due process because the American citizen is deemed a terrorist and has made himself and his son an easy drone target. Conservatives ignore the Constitution just as frequently as their liberal counterparts. Here's an Ayn Rand quote that I doubt Rick Santorum, Paul Ryan, or even Ann Coulter will be citing anytime soon. Individual rights are not subject to a public vote. A majority has no right to vote away the rights of a minority. The political function of rights is precisely to protect minorities from oppression by majorities. And the smallest minority on earth is the individual. So, I'm sorry, all you Republicans who think your party should embrace libertarians, it's just not going to happen. They're not going to allow it. You are, however, more than welcome to come to the Libertarian Party and see what freedom really means. It is inconsistent to claim to respect a person's natural rights and then openly argue to deny them. You don't like homosexuality? Don't get into a homosexual relationship. It is inconsistent to go on and on about how the government needs to treat everyone equal and then deny gay marriage because you believe only heterosexual married couples should be recognized. You don't like drugs? Don't take drugs. It is inconsistent to go on and on about how horrible it is the government controls our lives and then deny an individual's right to do with their body as they please. But inconsistency is conveniently ignored in both the Democrat and Republican parties. It's all about freedom, until you do something they don't like, something that goes against their beliefs. When the Democrats do it, Republicans get into a tizzy about how they're trying to take control over more of our lives. And they're correct. But make no mistake, when you are also as wishy-washy on freedom as conservatives in general, and Ann Coulter in specific, you're nothing more than yet another quasi-fascist. This is the Raging Rhino Podcast. You'll hear from me again.